Self-Evident is a podcast that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love.
Hail and well met. I'm Rebecca Leland.
And I'm Jenna Smith. I am here with one of our favorite guest hosts of all time.
Oh, it's so nice to be here.
I am so excited, Rebecca. You brought us here today.
Yeah.
For a list of topics that has kind of been weighing on your heart, I think, right?
Yes. Yeah. Basically, someone said I should start a blog and I don't like writing. Mm-hmm. So I made a whole list. I was like, okay, God, if you had me start a blog, these are all the things I would say. And it's like 10 or more topics. And then I was like, wait, I don't like writing because I don't really enjoy reading blogs. Mm-hmm. I enjoy watching content and listening to content. So I was like, hey, Jenna, do you want to do a podcast on me? And you're like, yes, let's go.
Yeah.
So you kind of whittled it down from the 10 to 3.
Yes. Well, we can always do the 10 other topics.
Yeah, let us know in the comments below. Do you want to
Do you want to hear Rebecca's tirades and these specific topics?
Tirades.
I do. That's why I got her here. I'm really excited. And we are in a new filming location. Guess
yes,
what?
We are
in we're actually at the IFI office. We are so excited that we can use this space.
Yeah,
God has
so
been
thankful.
So gracious. We are so excited to be bringing you a new filming location with beautiful guest hosts and
beautiful
topics
host
that we are really excited to talk about.
Yeah.
What are we talking about, Rebecca?
Okay. I think we're starting out with the most controversial.
Okay.
Dating apps. I know. Like, correct. And I think it's so interesting because I honestly, and like, prove me if I'm wrong, have you ever heard a Christian truthfully, biblically ever talk down about dating app? And I would love to hear if you have or not. Like take a think. Pastors, mentors, Christian icons.
I've heard them say that it's last resort. I've heard them say, be very careful. I love a good many Christian thought leader that they love to put their little two cents in about what's happening in the dating scene.
Right.
But I think they always qualify it with, since our culture is so online now, our public sphere is online. Mm-hmm. Well, that's another public sphere. That's how you find people.
Yeah.
And you're saying, no, no, no.
No, no, no.
Like, why?
I think maybe because I just want to be the first person ever to say no. No, I have been so convicted by this recently because I have. So I am a young professional, mm-hmm. no longer a young adult, going into my 30s. And I've just seen it. Like, I firsthand experienced sitting down with my sisters in Christ, sitting down with my brothers in Christ and hearing them out. And even sitting down with my brothers and sisters in Christ who have found their significant other online. And
right.
I think that is like the number one qualifier when it comes to when you start this conversation of like,
okay,
is it okay? Most people who are either online dating or are for online dating, they say, but I know blank, and they found
exactly
their husband.
Okay, they always qualify.
They always qualify. And then with that qualifier, you're sitting there and you're like, if I say no now, it looks like I am condemning that those two people found each other online.
I see.
Cuts down the conversation. And I think that's why I've never been able to like really come across as like a very firmly against online dating because of that. But I realized, welcome to God. And
what?
He, I know, it's phenomenal. And he will do abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. And God is amazing. I think like through scripture, the more I'm reading the Old Testament, it's man messed up, but God. Man is not perfect, but God.
Amen.
I want to take away the qualifier of, but people found someone. Yeah. Cause God is so good that he will take what our mess ups and he will take our faithlessness. And I'm going to call it that. It just in this episode as my, like where my position is, I think it's faithless when we use dating apps in today's society, God will take our faithlessness. Look at the Old Testament, look at the New Testament, and he will make something beautiful out of it if it be his will. So my qualifier is to the Bible believing Christians who have found their husband or wife online dating. Am I condemning that? No, because God was able to make something good out of something that is bad. Does it mean that you and I should go on it? No, because they were the exception to the rule.
Okay.
And you and I are exceptional. And those two things are different.
Okay. So is it just because it's online that you're against dating apps?
Right. No.
Okay.
I'm a huge believer.
I was going to say, you're kind of being a hypocrite here.
Exactly. No, I am so for social media. I love what you say. And now I coin it, or I let you coin it, but I use it all the time. And It is social media is the new public square. And I had to explain to someone what the public square is. And I love that because we don't have that in today's society. But in a small town, you would have the well and that would be your public square. And if you want to get news out, you would go to the public square. And social media is that now. I'm 100% a fan. I think God created social media, dare I say. And he wants us to use it. He wants us to be vocal and intentionally using it for his glory.
Amen.
When I look at what online dating is, what the apps are, and even what the Christian apps are, the way that they are set up, and even just you boil down what is a dating website, you're taking someone's outward appearance.
Okay.
You're taking what someone says that they are, you're putting it out quick, easy, accessible. And then because of that, the way that the society is, young adults and young professionals are believing the lie that this is the only option. I'm sure you've heard this. Like, do you feel like you have known young adults or young professionals who say this is the only option?
I have. I was actually having a conversation with one of my friends about this where she was mentioning, oh yeah, my husband's friends, they are now online and they're on social media specifically to find a romantic partner just because, well, we've tried everything else. We've tried rock climbing. We've tried gym memberships. We've tried like bowling competitions. We've tried everything and there's nobody that we can find in person. So this is our last resort. And don't judge us.
Yep.
Because we just desperately want to find a spouse.
Yep.
And you're saying that as Christians, we need to eliminate that as an option altogether.
Mm-hmm. Is the desire good? Yes. In the very beginning, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper. That is biblical. And it's so interesting. So off of Forbes magazine, I found this. How many people are single? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, nearly 47% of the U.S. population.
Oh.
Just over 117 million people are currently single.
Whoa.
That is an epidemic. Biblically, it is not good for man to be alone. Biblically, men and women are to be married. Unless you are clearly defined by God to be celibate, that is the exception to the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Men and women are to be married. Right now in the United States, almost half the population
That's insane.
Is single. That is shocking. Percentage of single men and single women shocked me. There are more single men than single women. Breathe heavily and then explain why you did.
So honestly, that doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
Just because you were mentioning this before we turned on the recording, that men are scared to ask women out, but they've been designed to chase something, to pursue something. They need to be building. They need to be doing this. So instead of chasing what God has laid out for them, so many men have fallen to the wayside being like, it is what it is. I got a good job. I went to my school. I did my duty.
Yep.
I go to my church. So now I can just relax and fight fake battles. And so they resort to gaming online with their friends. They resort to different even board games and things like that, 100%. Where they want to fulfill that
they're scratching
desire.
An itch.
Want to, but they're resorting to different things. And women are not built to be pursuing that. Obviously, there's exceptions to the rules, but we're designed to nurture and to care and to love. And so when there's no one there to nurture and to care to love, some of us are. A lot of us are. That's how the feminist movement started. Yeah. We turned and started conquering and pursuing as well.
I'll do it myself. I'm not going to wait.
Fine.
I'm going to do it myself.
Be that way. And so that's why there's so many women. They pursued their education. They pursued their law degrees. They pursued everything. And now they're waking up at 45 and they have their beautiful apartment that's spotless and everything. They have their kitty cat and they have their friends that they see like 3 times a week after work, but there's no one around.
You're not shocked. I like
I'm not
that
shocked.
You're not shocked. I think the reason it shocked me is because how many Christian single women have you heard say, and I quote, there's just no single men out there.
Mm.
Like so many single and like Christian women, I will say quality is hard.
Oh yeah.
Right. That to come to the conversation. Yeah. But there are men. Like there are men. There are more single men than women. I just felt like that was like shocking and like encouraging to me as a single woman. Where it's like, no, they're out there. And I think a lot of times we'll look around and be like, well, there's no one out there. I have to go online because that's the only place they are. There's nothing else. So it's like I think it was an encouragement as like a single woman, like, no, they're out there and there's more men than women.
Well, one of the things that always deterred me from using dating apps, I've never used one, is the fact that my brain operates like if you're on a dating app, you're desperate. Mm-hmm. You're just like, let me just throw myself out there to the wolves. So I don't care. I'll weed through them all. Like I'll talk with the lowest of the low. I don't care. I need somebody. And so that's always really, really rubbed me the wrong way. I don't really want to deal with that sort of person. You know, when we were talking with our Christian psychologist friend, we have episodes, Dr. Carl Benzio. He was on our podcast. He's incredible advice on dating.
Go listen.
And he was talking about if one person is a codependent. They are linked now and yoked to a independent person. That independent person is going to forever be cleaning up baggage and everything that that person has been through to make them a codependent. Yep. They're never going to be able to fully live up to their potential now. I've seen this in couples around me where an independent person would turn around and they would see a codependent.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. You feel bad for them. Your heart goes out to them and you love them. And you look, I can fix her. I can fix him. Yeah. I can do.
Oh,
and
classic.
Then 2 years later, there's still nothing fixed. And now they've fallen into the codependency mode as well. And they've fallen into the ditch and they're not living up to their full potential either. That's the one thing that's always taken me away from dating apps. Like, but what other things have you found out about the singles population here in America?
Well, I want to say I'm very proud of you because I think that is like you hit literally hit the nail on the head when it comes to why you didn't do online dating and why people will fall into it. Like even the young men, they were like, don't judge me. Why are we not having the conversation of why are believers feeling this conviction? Even the other day I had an event at my house and I said, hey, how'd you guys meet? And they go, a dating app. Why are we not talking about that conviction? Why is that shameful? And I think it's exactly what you said. And it's the unspoken, awkward elephant in the room. And it's everyone who went on a dating website got to this point and they felt it in their shoulders where they're like, God, I can't anymore. I have to do something. I have to take something into my own hands. And that's what a dating website is. It is a list of people who have decided that God is not doing what they want him to do.
Oof.
And they're going to use a secular tool or a tool that says it's Christian to get what they want.
Okay. Why do you call it a secular tool? Because you are of the opinion that God created social media and that we're using it for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we take dating apps and do the same exact thing with them?
Ooh, I think for me is God in that equation. So when it comes to what a dating app is, it can be a Christian man saying, you know, I don't have any Christian women in my life. I'm going to use an app that doesn't know me, doesn't know who I am. I'm going to put in information about myself and try to use an algorithm to find a woman. You lost me at a man trying to go use an app. Like that's not, can God use anything? Yes. Should we sin so that grace may abound? No. Originally, how people met is the town square. It's, oh yeah, I know your sister. I know your mom. Someone recently told me how she met her husband and her name's Vicky and she met Bruce through a common friend. She said they dated for 6 months and then were married. Like they, like the engagement, like super fast. And she goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's because we knew each other. I was like, how'd you know each other? She goes, well, we didn't know that each other existed, but I knew his entire side of the family and he knew mine. So when you meet someone, and if I know everything about the Smith family, I know so much about you, right? And if you know the Leland side of the family, you know so much about the, you know so much about who I am and really what makes me me. And nowadays, so many people are like, it's really important to be introduced to the mother and father. Back then, there was no, all right, I'm going to take you home to meet my mom. It's like, oh no, I knew her. I know her. Yeah, I know the family.
We go to the same church together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's so much more just authenticity. And the more that I look at dating websites, it is literally the opposite. It is not taking into account all of the things I think as Christians, we are supposed to take into account. Like you don't say, okay, this is my mom, this is my dad, or like, and because it sounds so like, well, I'm not going to talk about that kind of thing. But I feel like all the things that biblically you should be actually judging someone on, we are judging them on everything that's wrong. Because first and foremost, you cannot convince me that it is not physical appearance before anything else. You are not looking at their religion before you're looking at their photo. And that is so unscriptural, specifically where it comes to women. Men, they are designed to see beauty because women are beautiful. I will give, like, that is a part, but that is a part of the reason why a man will pursue a woman. It is not holy. And I think even with the Christian sites, they have not gone away from that. And then somebody's like, well, you know, kind of mix it up. It will be like different, but it the same exact thing, just done in a slightly different way when it comes to online dating. And I've not seen one of them do it just in a godly way, because I don't think you can. I think when it comes to like God's plan and God's way, it can't be condensed digitally in that way. If there was no online dating, what would there be? And I don't think it would be nothing. I think it would be events where the church, and this is where the church needs to man up and really understand that the church's future is married. The church's future is not single. If 47% of the population remains single, like, that's a detriment. And the church needs to man up and actually have singles groups again. In our generation, there's no such thing as a singles group. No. I've never even heard one. I live in Chicago. Like, there's millions of people and we don't have one singles group that are in like churches. I'm sure they're out there somewhere, not getting good PR online. They need to. The church has taken a back seat. I think we've seen that in so much culture. When the church takes a back seat, yeah. The world doesn't say, well, that was a church's thing. The world said, here's a dating app. I'm going to have you use this to try to do what the church is supposed to be doing.
Ooh. I think there's going to be a lot of pushback, though, because dating apps have been so ingrained in our culture since, mm-hmm. 2007, 2008,
yeah.
where we've been using it for so long. And, oh, but so-and-so met on here and yep. so-and-so met on there. And look yep. at how beautiful their family is. What you've been saying this entire time about there's a hierarchy of things and there's a way that God designed the world where, you know, men are supposed to pursue and women are supposed to be pursued. You just described how God initially created the social circles to work. Meet this person because your family knew of him. You know, he's friends with your cousin or something like that. It always was through the family. I saw this incredible graph and I'll pull it up for the description.
I can't wait.
But it shows how people used to meet mm-hmm. throughout the entire time from, like, I think it was like the 1920s all the way up to the present day.
Wow.
So the very top of the list was family members, church, I think it was school after that or through friends, right? As the decades progressed, parents dropped to the bottom, church dropped to the bottom, school dropped to the bottom, dating app took over the majority of the percentage. And it's very interesting to me. And one of the things that you were saying were, oh no, like, I know half of the side of his family already. I never mm-hmm. knew this person existed.
Yeah.
But you're seeing not only this person. I kind of look at families like kaleidoscopes, where if you like turn it one way, you're going to get a completely different
yeah,
picture.
Yeah.
And that's what you're getting when you're yeah. meeting this, when you know this person's family already, when you know this friend group, when you know the parents, you're getting
the real them.
Yes. You're getting that yeah. kaleidoscope vision of them yeah. where you're like, wow,
so
this is
more.
All checking out. This is yeah. all green flags. This yeah. is all great. Whereas if you're just getting them on their dating app, it's going to be like all mm-hmm. of the lists are exactly what they handpicked to show you.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's so true. It's like, it should start with the family. And then the thing is, especially, I love what you said. It's like friends, like find, you know, friends who know people. The number one thing, if no one takes away anything else from this episode, God is good. That's the first one. Dating apps are built on a lie. The lie is there is no other way.
Another thing is dating apps claim to know you, and that's they build their algorithms off claiming to know you. I don't know if it's AI generated. I don't know if someone is working behind the
There's got to be AI generated. It has to be.
And so you're matching all these profiles because mm-hmm. you're like saying one catchphrase word. And so you're going to be matched with a whole bunch of different people.
You are trusting a computer. You are choosing to trust. If you're going
with the second greatest important decision in your life. You know, if you've talked Amen. To any married couple, they said the first and greatest decision I made was to trust in Christ. Second greatest decision I ever made was to marry my spouse.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
One of the biggest like defining features in yeah. a human's life.
And as believers, I think we believe that. Like my sisters and brothers in Christ, they know it. And that's why they're like, I'm doing this for good. I'm doing this for God. But there's a way to do things for God. And there's a way to not do things for God. And like Hudson Taylor, I will say this to the day I die. My favorite quote that he said is, God's will done in God's way will never lack God's supply. You can deconstruct that and say, so my will done in God's way, it's going to lack God's supply. God's will done in my way is going to lack God's supply.
Wow.
God's will in God's way. And I feel online dating is God's will in man's way. Because we have believed the lie that online dating is the only way, we have pushed aside all the other actual ways, which are free. You ready? Mm-hmm. There's Facebook.
Whoa.
There's Instagram, all free
Whoa.
Things. There's word of mouth. There is, what if I literally went to 5 women that I respect and know and actually said, hey, if you have any cousins or relatives or know anyone, all these people are connected. We are very well connected in the 21st century.
Touch points. Go
Do
look
you have
it up.
Anyone
community.
That I know, dare I say, be the kind of person that they know. Like, you don't have to send them a whole spreadsheet. Like, hey, send this around. Like, let your guys know.
They know your
I'm
character.
Free.
They know
yes.
you.
The way that someone else talks about you is so different than the way you talk about you. And I think, especially as believers, because we do have, Lord willing, humility and healthy humility. The way that I will hype you up in a way that you will never hype yourself up is like a good thing. And again, it goes back to the way that God designed it, which is like the families, like a way your dad sometimes say the honest things that you might not tell someone, but like hype you up. Incredible, right? And it's like, no, those are the people I want to be telling people about me, not this dating website that I, because it's like, oh, it's weird because I wrote it and everyone knows I wrote it. Yes.
It's gross.
This is what I want to say.
It's gross.
If you are feeling convicted or you feel kind of icky about online dating, stop fighting it. Like, we are fighting that feeling because we're like, but it's the only, no, stop fighting it. Because this is a conversation in my group chats. A lot of the women that I know are all online dating. It's been like interesting because I want to say this in love. And I think a lot of times it comes across unloving. I've used the apps.
Sure.
Used the apps. And it just was so unfruitful and I felt so icky. And I just prayed and I said, God, I don't want that to be my story. I do not want to, at my wedding, on my wedding day, when the, oh my gosh, how'd you meet? I don't want to have the, we met online. God, if it's up to you and it's yours, I want to be able to truthfully say that you were so a part of my story. And in today's day and age, it's going to have to be God. Like, it really is. But at the same time, I will get the pushback, but we have to do something. Amen. I'm not saying do nothing, sister. I'm saying go to your church, start a young adult group. Go to your church, but not just a young adult group, a specifically like talk to your pastors. How could we get singles connected? Because pastors, the right pastors, are talking about it. So at the church that I'm going to, my pastor is a part of a collective of pastors who meet once a month. And this has been a conversation going on for months.
Whoa.
And they're thinking through and praying through because they see this as an epidemic. They see this as an issue. If you're a Bible-believing church, you see that young people need to get married and they are not. They're 47% in the United States that are not married. And they're like, is it the role of a pastor to do that? Is it the role of a lay leader to do that? I'm meeting with my pastor this week and we're going to talk about a way that I am not all that in a bag of chips. Like, I am a casual.
She is. Let another man praise you and not your own lips.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Okay. And I'm a woman, so I'm allowed to.
I have audacity. I'll say that. I got some audacity. I got more audacity. And we talked about this. It's actually because my parents never said I couldn't do something. So like, they said I couldn't touch fire. But if I said, hey, I'm passionate about this, my parents said, how much, Nick, what do you need? What do you need from me?
And like, you're just like, I want to jump. And they're like, okay, go. How far?
Right. Yeah. We're knee pads. I love you. Like, me and my sister thought about it last night. They never once told me I could not do something that God, I felt that God was leading me toward. So I have way too much audacity for the good of everyone, but God's using it because he's steering my strong will.
Praise the Lord.
And let's do something. Like, if I don't believe in dating apps, what are we going to do?
Yeah. You got to fill the hole.
Yes. Lord willing, we're going to have a Chicagoland wide singles event and it's going to be called Unsingling. Like, that is, it just came to me yesterday. I'm so excited. Forget about Christian Mingle. Like, we need to unsingle. I was like, that's phenomenal. And that's the goal.
Not here to mingle.
Not here to mingle. Unsingle. I'm here to unsingle. And it's like, unsingling, it doesn't mean like the first guy you talk to, like, it's going to be your man. No, let's have a conversation.
Yes.
But like, that's the goal. Like, God wants us to unsingle. God, it's not good for man to be alone. Time and time again, I talk to my Christian sisters. They are so sad. And it takes up, I want to say, I'm going to give it a generous 25% of our thoughts. Like, when I go to work, I'm like, man, it would be nice to be a stay-at-home mother. It's hard, but it's like what I feel like I should be doing. And men, it is equally as prevalent in their minds. They're thinking, who am I getting married to? When am I getting married to them? I recently talked to two guys that we had dinner together and they were talking about just how much they're thinking about it. We are all thinking about it. We are all thinking about it because it's innately who we are. Why is the church not talking about
right.
it? Why are biblical men and women not helping us? And I think it's because there's no call for it because there's online dating.
Yeah.
We have a method.
We're also kind of, because we have the online dating stuff, there is this kind of shame where people are like, there's two reasons. One is in churches, singles will be told, no, that's a gift. God has gifted this to you.
No.
And it's
kill
like
me.
The greatest analogy I have of this is when someone gives you an ugly sweater for Christmas and they're just like, say thank you for the gift. Aren't you happy for your gift? And you're like, no, I hate it.
I hate this so much.
Please. The Christian church is gaslighting single people into saying like, no, this is your gift. No, it's not. If you were not called to celibacy, Amen. That is not your gift. That's not going to be in the cards for you.
Amen.
And so instead of turning around and being like, okay, like, let us help you
yes.
find
oh my
your
word.
Partner, your spouse,
yes.
so you can pursue Christ. Like, okay, so you know that one verse, Apostle Paul writing, and he's telling people, I would that all of you are single. And so everyone uses that verse being like, see, Paul
yes.
said he wishes all of
yes.
us were single. But it's because he turns around and he says, you can't because you guys literally burn up inside. Like,
yes.
you are not focusing on the gospel because you were distracted. That is something the church should be looking at instead of just being like, no, be happy at 45% for Christ.
Amen.
The rest of you is just taken up by your daily temptations.
Yes,
100%. Right?
Yes.
Why aren't you solving this?
Amen. And actually, I love that verse so much because, okay, and you have to read it because it's so much actually more than the burning with passion. So can you read it for us?
Sure. So Paul initially starts out in 1 Corinthians 7 where he was talking about, yes, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, but because of sexual immoralities, each man is to have his own wife and each woman is to have her own husband.
Preach it.
Pause. He's literally saying because of sexual immorality. That is like the sin that is very, very prevalent in the Christian church nowadays. And it's because how many of us are single? How many of us are fighting against something what God designed as good and beautiful? Amen. And the devil is twisted.
Amen. There's literally men. It's like the analogy of like, there's a man in a burning house. Trust the Lord, Timmy. And Timmy's like, but the house is burning. No, you just gotta trust. Put the fire out. Give Timmy a wife. You know what I mean? But it's like, just trust the Lord. No, God knows. God knows how sexual sin, and because of sin, we have tainted what was once beautiful and what like God designed. But it doesn't mean that he wants Timmy to be alone in the burning house. No. You know what I mean? We need to put out that fire. But they're like, no, just trust the Lord more. Just trust the Lord more with your sexual temptations, even though like God literally made you to have a wife. Keep
anyway,
going. Keep going.
So in verse 7, we're fast forwarding to verse 7. Paul says, yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. And that's where everyone stops being like, see, your
everyone
gift
should be seeing. And look gift. What Paul did.
Paul has been so profitable for the entire Christian church.
Think
don't you want to
don't
be profitable?
You want to be a Paul?
However, do you see that qualifier? Each man has his own gift from God. One this way and another that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it is good for them even if they remain even as I. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And then he goes into talking about how if you're yoked to an unbeliever and you're a Christian, you stay yoked to them because you can bring them to Christ. And that verse specifically, one, Paul is literally telling us, yes, I notice that this is a huge issue. So you need to be yoked to each other and you need to bring up your godly offspring to the glory of Christ, because that is a good and beautiful thing that God has given you, that desire to be married. I kind of think that's the end of the story. Like,
whenever you say online dating is a sin, you sound like you're touting marriage. You sound like you're putting marriage down. You're like, no, because, oh, it's the only way. But in reality, like, we have such a high calling when it comes to marriage, because it's like, okay, get married. But then he goes, but don't be only equally yoked. Like, there is a quality to someone.
It's like a checklist.
Yes, 100%. And it's like, no, I almost want to say, what if we did it God's way? Like, let's just pretend, like in this world, let's pretend that online dating is not an option. I would suggest any woman or man out there, delete the dating app permanently. Pray. Ask God, okay, God, now that this is no longer an option, how? Hmm. Because there's a way.
Oh yeah.
God's will done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And it is God's will for men and women to be married. Mm-hmm. So what if we pretended like we actually believed God and we actually trusted God? Mm-hmm. I think what you would do is so much scarier than going on a dating website. Going on a dating website, nobody's seeing me. Nobody's seeing me. Nobody's seeing me. Maybe I go on a date. Maybe I don't. But what are dating websites really good for? Going on dates. They're really not good for marriage. They're really great for getting you a face-to-face date. But the people that are going on that, like you said, the kind of people that are going on that are not the people who are trusting the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. They're not the people that are willing to go out of their comfort zone and do which what God is probably going to call you to do. If you delete the dating website, he's going to say, do something. Be the person that you are looking for right now. And that's where I want to be the person that I was looking for maybe like 5-10 years ago. I want to create an environment where young men and young women can come together to talk with one another. Basically a online dating, but not online, in real life. And like, be the church, be the people who are doing that. These are Bible believing Christians. These are members of a church. And that's a big qualifier, I believe, for me. Coming together and having a space, create that space. You can. It is free to create spaces. Last Saturday, I used my backyard. I invited tons of friends over. One of my friends has a guitar and we just worshiped. We just casually worshiped God on a Saturday night. It felt so liberating and so exciting because we were connecting with the God who created all things. And it was like, we have the ability to do this. You have the ability to talk to your church. You have the ability to talk to your pastor and asking, hey, do we have a connection of churches? Your pastor probably does if he's a good pastor. They also have a few, if not more than a few young adults. Let's have an event. This is the only way I see to get out of this rut that we're in. But it starts with believing the lie that online dating is not the only choice. It's believing that online dating is not God's first choice.
Yeah.
Can God use it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Just because God can use it doesn't mean that we are supposed to use that avenue. I'm not saying that those who have met online should be condemned. Praise God that they were the exception to the rule. Believe God in what he says and his promises, and actively seek God's call on your life to find someone. I do not believe any of the statistics prove that online dating is the way. I think it's a way, but just because you have a tool doesn't mean it's the right tool for the job. And online dating is a tool. I do not believe it's honestly the right tool for the world. I 100% do not believe it's the right tool for a believer. Just the way that it takes the control out of God's hands and it puts it into our own. The telltale sign of all of this is the conviction that God is giving every person that I know personally who is a believer who does online dating. The
wow.
Cringe.
I also want to add, through the people that I know who have met online, who've got married, who have kids now, there are still consequences to online dating. For example, a couple of the couples that I know, the daughter left sometimes their own country to come and marry this person, and praise God, shall leave his father and mother and
become one. Amen.
Absolutely. But then they're separated from everything they've ever known. But another thing about dating apps, I had one experience. I didn't make an account for myself. I made it for a friend. And the way that we would go back and forth and demean men, were these men desperate? Absolutely. Were we making fun of them for it? Absolutely. Was we being desperate being on that app, looking at them? Kind of.
Yeah.
It's very convicting. Like, these are image bearers as well. Why would you put yourself in a position where you're actively demeaning image bearers of Christ?
Yeah.
I know it's fun to do in the moment.
Yeah. Because you had the opportunity, because you were not face to face.
Yeah.
Right? I think it just goes back to, too, like taking thoughts captive. And we don't. When it comes to online dating, it's so consumer based. It's so idolatry, worshiping self. And like, is this the right man for me? Is that the right man for me? Do I want that man? And it's like, you don't know them. Again, like you said, like when it comes to social media, it's like you're putting on there what you want to say. And again, you don't have the, oh, I actually know their mother. And like, they've mentioned him a couple of times. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't have that.
I love the way you put it, where you say like, oh, great guy. Not my guy. You realize you're going to say, I love this man the way God created him. Not for me, though. And that is such a glorifying and beautiful way to put it, too. Be very cautious of dating apps for the exact reasons that Rebecca was putting out. Number one, that's not how God created the world to work.
Yep.
But number two, it also is a huge opportunity for us to sin as well. Like 100%. the trap of judging and demeaning and sending profiles back and forth. That is characteristic of women. I've not talked to very many men who've been on dating apps who do that. That would be our evening little entertainment.
The way that men talk about women. They'll say, oh yeah, I found this really hot woman, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, did you read anything else on her profile? No. And it's giving men what God designed as beautiful, which is, yeah, God made men to want women, but it's distorting it and it's causing so much confusion and discord. 100%. So the men, the men are falling into it as well.
So do you have any encouragement for people listening right now? They're like, okay, great. You took away that avenue.
Yeah.
What do I do? You were saying get together, go find your own singles group, found it.
I would say, so that's drastic, right? Like that took me 2 years to pray through. I would say first and foremost, if you are single and you are a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you should have to follow Jesus first. That nothing works unless you do. Pray about it. Like, I'm just encouraging you. Don't take my word for this. I can rant and rave about this as till the cows come home. But unless the Holy Spirit convicts you, nothing will happen unless the Lord is in it. Right? Like the watchman, he can be awake all night on that, you know, beautiful post. But unless the Lord is on his side, like it's for nothing. Pray and ask God, if I have this conviction, if I have this twinge about online dating, ask him, reveal to me why. Listen to God. As he softens your heart, give it to him. Be like, God, I'm so unhappy about being single. And God will probably say, yeah, I know. Like, look at the scriptures. I don't want you to be single either. I think one of the biggest encouragements is I was walking one time and I thought, God is just as sad that I'm single as I am. God is our father. God made you to be with a man right now. God made me to be with a man. And the way that the world is sinful and the way that we are feeling the effects of sin, we are not. God is just as grieved about your singleness as you are. And I think starting off there, not that God is keeping something from you, but he is holding off things that are not for you from you. That is something he is doing. And so I say, realize who God is, realize what he's doing, and then realize what he's asking. Okay, what is your step? You might not be a Rebecca Jean Leland, and that's okay. We're not all Rebecca Jean Lelands. You might not start the singles group, but just tell 5 women or men that you know, that you respect. It could be family members. It could be people from church. It could be acquaintances. It could be your parents' friends. Do you know anyone? Like, I just want you to know I'm in the market, because I think we have cut and severed the tie between older generation and younger generation a lot. Let them know and you'll see what happens. I was able to go on a FaceTime date because of that, because I put on Facebook, I'm single, and they were like, here's this man. Not my man, right? Good man, not my man. But I was like, oh, people just don't know that that's where I'm at, because all the older generation is like, oh, well, they have the dating apps. They have the kids are doing it themselves. The kids are not okay, and they should not be doing it themselves. I will say that for everyone. So like,
another thing that my parents have pointed out is that there is a form of pride in this where
huge.
As a young adult, I do not want to admit that I'm unhappy where I am right now. And so I don't want to go around and tell the couple at my church yeah. that I absolutely love and I highly respect and I want them to highly respect yeah. me. I do want somebody. I do want to get married. Yeah. I don't want them looking at me like yeah. that, you know?
Because you think, and I think the number one thing that pops into your head is that's so desperate.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm such a victim.
You know what desperation does? The more you feed into desperation, then you will start acting desperate. So I'm not going to tell people at my church because that seems desperate because it seems a little odd, right? It seems kind of, you know, vulnerable. So instead I'm going to go to an app that doesn't know me. That is desperate. And that's hard to hear. And I think like, I again, want to come across being like, this is the conviction that God has given me. And I pray this conviction over all young adults and young professionals. It doesn't mean you're going to have it right now. It does feel vulnerable. And you could even use the word desperate. We are desperate right now in the world. You are not alone in this. There are 47% of Americans who are single. We're all in this boat. This is a desperate situation that's not being talked about. Practical steps, start talking about it. Start actually praying and thinking through these specific things. Take your thoughts captive. I think the number one convictor is, why are you downloading the dating app? Actually ask that, and not just to yourself, ask it with God. And I do believe that God brings wisdom. It says he will give wisdom abundantly. And this is not like a case by case, maybe. He says he will give wisdom. Ask him for it and be honest and open and be willing to accept it. That's the beginning. Like, I think that's where we need to start. And like I said to the girls on my chat, I like went off and I let it sit for like 10 minutes. And I go, ladies, I forgot to say, the only reason I'm saying this is because I love you so much. I don't say this I want to condemn you to keep you down. I say this because I want to refine you to lift you up. And when it comes to dating apps, more Christians need to be against it. I need my older brothers and sisters in Christ to be holding the younger generation to a higher calling. And us as younger generations, we have to hold each other to this higher calling. And we'll talk more about another episode when it comes to offending. It's actually biblical to offend your brother in Christ and your sister in Christ to build them up for the edification, for iron sharpening iron. If this is hitting your heart, I pray you don't take this out on me or on Self-Evident, but that you actually like give it to God. Give it to God. And I challenge you to do that in an honest way.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you so much for sharing your heart on this topic. It's such a beautiful conversation opener to have. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see if this kind of sparks like a little ripple effect, because for sure I will be talking about it in a different way with my circles. It's something that does need to be talked about in a manner that's honest. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope this was a blessing and that you'll be able to chew on this episode for a little bit. And hey, if you disagree, I would love to hear your thoughts and comments on why you do disagree. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. And until we meet again, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. And as Paul writes in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So let's put on the full armor of God. Let's take this to him in prayer. Let's be surrounded by his peace.
Amen.
This is Self-Evident.